It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. We have a wonderful topic that I know you're going to enjoy. Our topic today is, can the mind heal the body? Is it possible? Is the mind something that can control the body to such a state and have so much influence over it that it actually has healing power? We're going to talk about that today. You've read a lot about it. You've heard about it in the news. I'm going to share some stories with you, but then we're going to take a look from the biblical standpoint about what this is all about. Our number is 800-775-4673, 800-775. The word hope is the one that follows, H-O-P-E, a great word to remember around Christmas time. H-O-P-E, it's an easy one, so 800-775-4673. Pick up the phone, give us a call today. We'd like to hear from you. We like your opinions and your ideas. 800-775-4673. Also, would remind you of the website. Go there and check it out. We're adding new things all the time. It's www.lifetalk.net. And quickly, I'm going to remind you again of some of the various ways that you can get LifeTalk programming. One is that we have radio stations all across the country. And so if you're in one of those areas, you can tune in. We also are on satellite around the world. So any place on the globe, well, just about any place, unless you're at the extreme north or south of the globe, you can pick up LifeTalk programming. Also, we have the various radio streams on the internet. We have the radio streams that are there at different levels for higher quality or lower quality, depending on your connection ability. Also, we have a music-only channel. We have recently, in the last few days, added a channel just for kids. And so if your kids want to listen to programming made for them, and they can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at least when you give them permission, they can listen. It's there all the time, and you can find it also at the website. And then we have a new channel that we are looking at adding in the future. We don't have that one fully ready to go yet, and that will be a talk-only channel. So we have a lot of different ways that you can listen to LifeTalk and get LifeTalk programming. And we have the music channel too. And I should mention to you that the music only channel on the internet right now is all Christmas music. And we have podcasting, vodcasting, and you can pick up LifeTalk in any of those ways. And if you utilize podcasting, vodcasting, which thousands of you are doing, then you can keep that programming with you and listen to it anytime. Once again, that's www.lifetalk.net. Now, back to the issue of the mind controlling the body to such an extent that it actually has healing powers. Now, I don't want you to think, and I want to qualify this right up front, that we're getting into some weird material here today. It is maybe somewhat weird from the standpoint of what people are studying and investigating, but we want to assure you that we're looking at these things from the biblical standpoint. The body and the mind, of course, are closely related. We were made by God as one unit to function together. There have been attempts by those down through the years to try to separate mind and body from each other. And as a result of that, they have arrived at some really strange conclusions. But the biblical picture is that my body and mind are made together. We are one functioning unit, and both must function together to have a real person. Well, some recent studies have been done about the power of the mind to do a work in the body of healing. In fact, the National Institutes of Health, this is, as all of us know, a very renowned governmental agency. The National Institutes of Health have just released this bit of information where they have done some research, and what we're talking about today, the ability of the mind to bring healing to the body. Well, they have done that using what is called guided mental images. Guided mental images. Imagery, according to this report, is woven into various cultures. If we go back through history, into a lot of the ancient cultures, it is woven into their healing rituals. And today's academics, of course, are looking at this from a different standpoint, but they're trying to say, is there something here? Is there a power to of the mind to have some ability to heal the body? And so a lot of research is taking place today in this area. And many are looking at it as something that can be used along together with what we would call today traditional or accepted medical practices. Well, one of the individuals that was reported in this article is David Bressler. He's PhD. He is a neuroscientist who founded the Academy for Guided Imagery in Malibu, California. And he says, I think this is really just the beginning, even though that it's been around for a long time. And he says that using imagery, using the mind to bring healing to the body, can evoke psychological changes and promote healing. That's according to Dr. Bressler. Well, he first of all started this investigation when he was at UCLA, and he was doing research there, and he actually was working with the Academy for Guided Imagery and in connection with the UCLA program for their pain control unit. And he said that he noticed that there was a real effect that had taken place in both children and adults when they used certain techniques of the mind in order to bring relief to the body. Well, in Chicago, there's another story coming out of there about pain that is due to sickle cell anemia or kids that have stem cell transplants. And there's some research going on there helping children to gauge pain and to reduce pain by going through certain mental imaging scenes that they go through, and then to reduce their pain by thinking about these things that they are suggested that they should think about. We'll talk more in just a minute about what this really is and how they accomplish this. In that particular study, they did not have tremendous results. On a scale to 1 to 10, the pain threshold of these kids was, or the pain intensity, rather, was lowered by 1. And that's not a whole lot on a scale of 1 to 10. However, it is something. And there were measurable results that these children did have the ability, by using their mind, to reduce the pain of their body. Well, we're going to talk about this today. Using the mind, I have a psychiatrist that is with me, and so he can help us with the topic that we have at hand today to better understand these things. We'll introduce him in just a minute. He's no stranger to you. He's been here before with me. We're going to have a great time as we look at this topic today, mind over the body. Is it possible? 800-775-4673. Give us a call, and we'll be happy to speak with you.
Your thoughts and comments are welcome at 800-775-4673.
I don't know about you, but sometimes I get the money blues. And when you got the money blues, you really got the blues. Honey, when those credit card bills start coming, I feel like I owe more than I've ever made. I don't remember spending $79.23 at Phyllis's Fashion Favorites. Wait a minute. That's when they had that dress sale. Oh, I just couldn't pass it up. And what's this $229.64 at Billy Bob's Electronic Emporium? Oh, that must be that TV set. Well, bless my heart, everybody knows I needed a new one. The worst part is this interest charge, $82.17. That's highway robbery. I can't afford that. The nerve of these people. Well, I gotta run. I ordered new curtains for the living room and I need to pick them up. They'll make me feel better. Oops, almost forgot my credit card. I'm gonna need that.
The way to get rid of the financial blues is to get your spending under control. For help, use the free online budget guide when you visit crown.org. A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the power of the mind over the body. Is it something that is just out there in somebody's imagination, or is it actually something that is true? As we mentioned already, there's research that's taking place about mind over the body, and it goes back into ancient history as well. There are reports down through history about the mind having certain power over the body. Well, what does the Bible have to say about all of this, and what is legitimate from the standpoint of the Scriptures, and what is not? We're going to look at all of those issues and more, and we'll be happy to take your opinion today. And if you have a question, feel free to give us a call as well. 800-775-4673. That number once again, 800-775 and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. My guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings. And he is a physician and a psychiatrist, and he is an author, seminar presenter, and he is here in the studio with me today as we talk about this particular topic. Dr. Jennings, when we start talking about the mind having control over the body, That is stuff of science fiction to many of us, and it seems like we're getting into the, you know, the weird never land type of thing. Is the reality here? I mean, I've read a couple pieces of recent research. It's limited research. We know that down through history there have been reports of this. Does the mind really have an impact on the rest of our body?
Oh, there's no question about it, and it's not mystical, so let's demystify it for everybody.
All right.
We've all experienced this to various degrees, one or another. Have you ever had the experience of getting up in front of a large crowd and have your stomach suddenly do butterflies and start churning with acid? Why is that happening? Because we have some physiological defect in our stomach lining? Or is it because something's happening in our brain which is signaling our body to make our stomach now churn out more acid? Have you ever had the experience of having your hands start to tremble or sweat when you get in a situation like that? Now, I'm describing situations that promote anxiety, but we can see in that situation, we've all experienced it, our body is reacting to something that's happening into our mind. Now, that's kind of on a negative side of things, causing the stress response to cause a physical reaction in our body. What you're reading in the literature today is that people are discovering that the mind also has the power to have a relaxing, calming, and healing effect on the body as well.
I'm going to ask you a question that I know is loaded when I ask you, Tim, and that is simply this. If you have cancer, can you cure it with your mind?
Well, the interesting thing is God has created us with the capacity to be self-healing to a great degree. He's given us white blood cells, which fight infection. He's given us incredible defense mechanisms that were built into us to protect us from illness and disease. When you ask about the cancer question, there's a balance often in the issues with cancer, that cancer is certain cells that have begun reproducing themselves out of control. We have built into our body's immune system that is designed to identify those cells and kill those cells off to prevent cancer from occurring. High unremitting stress states that occur when people have not processing their stress well in their minds can lower immune response, slow lymphocyte response time, and thus make you more vulnerable to cancer. And so likewise, a healthier mental state can put the body in a better position where it can be more likely to overcome a cancer. But you can't just simply, by the power of thinking, cancer go away, have the cancer go away.
Right. And of course, I had no intention of getting you to give us a new cure for cancer. But there is, even with something like cancer, for instance, or even heart disease, there is a relationship between the body and the mind, isn't there? And the mind has certain abilities not only to heal but also to prevent disease, all kinds of disease.
Oh, there's no question about it. As we think, and what you've read there in the literature should not be surprising to any of us. When we engage in activities, whether it be, say, practicing a musical instrument, they've done PET scans where they can actually look at the part of the mind that lights up when a person imagines themselves playing a piece of music. They're just imagining it in their mind. And then they have them actually play the piece of music, and they look at the brain, and the same areas of the brain are lighting up when we imagine ourselves playing the music or when we actually play the music. So as far as brain circuitry goes, we can activate those circuitry by what we think or how we think. And so if we think many negative and destructive thoughts, we can activate parts of our body that are designed to react to stress and frustration, such as it increasing corticosteroids, increasing stress hormones, which result in higher blood pressure, which result in altering lipids, such as your bad cholesterol and all these things, which can, in the long run, result in increasing risks of heart attacks and strokes. In the short run, high immediate stress can pour out a flood of stress hormones called catecholamines, such as epinephrine and norepinephrine, or adrenaline, it might be more commonly be known as. And that can have an effect on the heart. Heart rate can start pounding, and people who are vulnerable could have a heart attack simply from mental stress.
Well, Tim, let me ask you to go back with me and do some speculation.
Okay.
When we go back, of course, to the beginning of time, we go back to the Garden of Eden, the story there is fairly limited. So a lot of what we think about the Garden of Eden and so forth is really speculation, but I think we can do some holy speculation that's based on some reasonable assumptions. If we think back about the Garden of Eden, it would seem to me, in my speculation, that everything there was well balanced. We know, of course, that everything was in perfect harmony, and that being the case, the mind and the body, of course, were perfect from the hand of the Creator. Everything functioned the way that they should. The environment was perfect. The food was perfect and so forth and so on. But in that condition, it would seem to me that the mind of Adam and Eve would have really been minds that were in a perfect state. And the altering factor that it makes us the way that we are today was the process of sin that came in.
Yeah, and one of the things that was missing in their mind that is filling the minds of humanity today is an experience called fear. Adam and Eve, prior to sin, knew no fear. As soon as they sinned, they ran and hid because they were afraid. Fear is a driving force in the destructive processes, physiologic processes that we can document that cause all those destructive hormones to rage that I was talking about, blood pressure to go up, anxiety, tremulousness, fear, fear, fear. And what does it say? In the last days, men shall run to and fro, their hearts failing them for
fear.
Sure. Because we are no longer connected with the source of our security, which takes away our fear. Perfect love casts out fear.
Let's pick up on that when we come back. I think that's an extremely important issue that we need to talk about. There's a lot to talk about in this topic today. We'd like to hear from you. Our number, once again, 800-775, the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. You can join us on the air. It's a lot of fun when you do. 800-775-4673. Give us a call. Be part of the discussion. Mind over body. That's what we're talking about today.
You can join the conversation now by calling 800-775-4673.
For a lot of soldiers, I'll Be Home for Christmas is just a song. They'll be on a mission that has taken them far from home. Well, that's a feeling the Christ of Christmas knows all too well. The baby born that first Christmas was very far from home. He was the Son of God who'd come all the way from heaven on the most important mission in history to give us a chance to get right with the God that we've hijacked our lives from. He was very far from home that first Christmas, and even farther from home on Good Friday. The Bible says Jesus actually carried our sins in His own body on the tree. On that cross, Jesus was cut off from God so you would never have to be, so you could have heaven. Our sin is why our heart has always been searching for home, because home is a love relationship with God. If you'd like to have that relationship this Christmas season, call us at 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM. Wherever you are this Christmas, your heart can be home because you finally belong to Jesus. He left home so you can find home.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the mind over the body. Is there, beyond just a slight influence maybe that the mind has over us, we know that when our mind says to our hand, move, it moves. We know that there is that kind of effect. But we're talking about something a little different than that today. The mind having the ability to cure the body, to make us healthy, to make us well, to keep us well. We're talking about how the body is integrated with the mind and how the two work together. Our number is 800-775-4673, 800-775, the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. And once again, we would love to hear from you today. We'd like to hear from you about your understanding of how your mind influences your body. I have a psychiatrist sitting beside me, so he can help us better understand this today. And if you have a question or an observation, feel free to give us a call. Once again, we're talking about the mind over the body. 800-775-4673. My guest is Dr. Tim Jennings, MD, psychiatrist, and he's an author, a lecturer, and does many things, like join us on the air today. And so, Dr. Jennings, once again, it's great to talk about these things. Before we went to break, we were talking about the issue of fear. You made reference to the text in John by the Apostle John that says, perfect love cast out fear. To me, that is so important in the Christian context. You know, as a lifelong pastor, I have seen many people that are afraid of God from so many different aspects. Now, the Bible has the aspect of judgment. There's no question about it. And it's an important issue in the Bible. But when we look at what John says, that perfect love cast out fear, then it should say to those of us that have given our lives to Christ that the fear factor should go away. And, you know, when that happens, it seems that God is healing not only just our minds, but God also in that process is healing our bodies as well and bringing us back closer to that perfect state that Adam and Eve had at the beginning of time.
Yes, and if you just tie that in, the proverb, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Sure.
Do you find that a merry heart and a fearful heart can be experienced simultaneously?
Right.
No. So as we experience that reconnection with God, we're not afraid of Him. We come back into unity with Him. We're filled with joy and with love and with peace. We experience a merry heart. And there is a healing reality to that. But I want to clarify for your listening audience, as you asked the question earlier, can the mind heal the body? yes, within limits, we shouldn't go off into some extreme on either side that our mind has nothing to do with it. It's just all biochemical processes, and no matter how we think or what we think, it has no bearing. But nor should we go off to the other extreme, that there's no place for medicine and rational treatments, that if we just have a good mental attitude, that is all we need. Either ditch on the either side is a dangerous ditch to be in.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because when we go back in history, of course, we start thinking about the Greek philosophers, Plato and so forth, they became extremists and really got over into one of those ditches, actually to the place of denying physical reality, so that the only thing that mattered were the thought processes that took place in the brain. But according to Plato and some of these Greek philosophers, since there wasn't physical reality, there was no brain to start out with. And there was something else that was the idea to them that they kept trying to figure out what it was and what it did. But that unreal view of life and who we are carried on down through the centuries, of course. And we even have religions today, and I'm not going to name those religions, but we have religions where that same philosophy has come into, people read about them, hear about them in the news, you know, they won't seek medical treatment and so forth because of the power of the mind over the body. It's just old Greek philosophy reinvented for a newer time. And so people won't go into a physician and so forth because of that type of extremism.
And it has several ways of presenting itself, and many Christians suffer with a subtle form of it, in which they have this idea that if I just have enough faith, then I won't need, or get my faith relationship with God, or just get the sin out of my life. I've heard of women who have had in trouble conceive, and the pastor, I go to their pastor, and the pastor says, well, have you searched your heart? Is there some sin you haven't gotten out of your heart? If you get your mind pure, then you'll be able to have a child. Where it can be just simply some fertility problem with their physical biology.
Sure.
Okay? I've heard of patients with diabetes refusing to take their insulin because, well, if I just trust God and He's going to heal me. If I just have a good mental attitude and keep my prayer life active with God, that'll take care of it. And most commonly, I think, is with mental illnesses of depression and other things. If I just have a good mental relationship with God, then I won't have this physical problem with my brain or my body. And right. I think that's a ditch that we don't want to fall into as well.
Well, it's a denial of another reality. I mean, there is a reality of this world. We live here. We're physical beings. God made us. He made us perfect in the beginning. But also part of the reality that we deal with is that we live in a world of sin. I have yet to see a perfect tree.
Yes.
I've yet to see a perfect dog or cat.
Right. How about a human?
Yes, or a perfect human being. Because we live in a world where the process of sin weighs down everything. In nature, in everything that we see, in everything about who we are, we're weighted down by the process of sin. And so to deny that, of course, is to deny a very clear teaching of Scripture.
Yeah. And so our goal for Christians is to find a way to have internal mental peace that brings as much health to our body as we can while we develop a character that becomes more and more like Christ in our life, rather than focusing simply on having the best blood pressure and the best heart rate we can get.
Right. But no, both are important, aren't they?
Well, both are important, but they're not even in the same class.
Okay.
I mean, let me ask you this question. If you could live to be 969, Methuselah,
right,
and never come to know Jesus, or you live to be 21 years of age, but He's your best friend,
right,
which is the better life?
Sure.
Okay? They're not equal. And in the research that you read in the literature, the medical literature, there's tons of research going on forms of meditation, and their entire focus is on monitoring physiologic response. And they show that if you have certain forms of meditation where you empty the mind from all thought, except maybe one word, that blood pressure goes down, heart rate goes down, there's a physiological reality that occurs to this form of meditation. But what they are not documenting is what's happening to character, what's happening to ability to reason, to discern the right from the wrong, to make healthy choices, to develop in Christ-like lines. These things aren't being evaluated, and overcoming defects of character don't happen with this emptying of the self.
It seems to me that there is a limitation to some of the research that's being done. Let's talk more about that when we get back. Our number is 800-775-HOPE. And we would like to have you join us on the air. We really would like to hear from you today about the ability of your mind to do good things to your body. And we would like to know if you have actually experienced that. We know what some of the research has to say, and we're looking at these things from a biblical standpoint, so we know what that has to say as well, but we'd like to hear from you. Steve Gallimore back with you. Does the mind have the power to heal the body? That's what we're talking about. The number 800-775-4673. Pick up the phone, give us a call, and let us know from your perspective, is there really such a thing as the body having power, or let's get that straight, the mind having power over the body? The body, I suppose, does have some power over the mind. I don't know. Let's talk about that, too. But in any case, whatever you'd like to discuss with us as it relates to this topic, give us a call, 800-775-4673. My guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings. He is a psychiatrist, and he is here to help us better understand this whole issue of mind over body. Well, let's come back to the issue of imagination.
Yes.
This is something in these studies that was being used. In fact, in Chicago, they gave these kids stories that were a little loose-ended. And they said to the kids, we want you to use your imagination to make this story whatever you want it to be. And by helping those kids generate those kinds of mental images, they were able to reduce pain to some degree. Well, what about using the mind to imagine, to bring about images? The other study that we looked at, too, by the National Institutes of Health, it was about the same issue, using the mind to imagine.
And what they're doing with the imagination in those scenarios are simply a distraction primarily. They actually had another study, which wasn't quoted today, in which they used television, had the children watch a children's program while they were starting IVs on the children in one group versus having the mothers distract the children while they started the IV. And those children who were watching television had much less pain and much less awareness that they were having an IV stuck in their arm than those who were being distracted by their mother. So I think the use of the imagination is to get the child's mind occupied on something else so that they are less aware of the thing that's happening to them in the moment. And we've all experienced this as well. Think about the times when you've been deep in thought. You've been in a creative thought. You've been remembering an encounter with a boyfriend or girlfriend. You've been planning a trip. You've been planning a party for a friend. But you're in thought in some way. And then at some point you become aware your leg's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
You've had this physical thing going on, but you were unaware of it for quite some time. Or maybe you were deep in thought and you missed the exit that you needed to take off the interstate. Or
right.
missed a turn. Does that mean you have dementia and have lost your memory, you have amnesia? No. It simply means that your mind was off in its imagination, focusing there, and you were not attending to the immediate things that were happening to you. That's what's happening with the use of imagination in these studies. So it's not the mind in these studies healing the body. It's simply the mind taking its focus to a place of your own creation, your own mind, so you are tuning out or turning down the volume on the stimulation coming from other sources.
Well, what are some proper ways, in your opinion, to use the imagination and some ways that aren't proper?
Well, the healthiest way to use the imagination, as far as I can see, in my experience, nothing advances the development of the mind more than the proper study of God's Word. As we imagine the realities of God's Word, put our mind and try to let our imagination expand beyond this reality to reach out to the hand of God, then we actually come in contact in our mind the infinite. And when that happens, it expands our knowledge, our perspectives, it helps us grow in our reasoning. So nothing in my opinion is healthier than using the imagination to focus on God, His character, His methods, His creation, His principles. Destructive use of the imagination would be to focus on just the opposite of God's character. Use your imagination to plot evil against somebody. Use your imagination to plot a lewd encounter. Use your imagination to harbor vengeance and retaliation and brooding and negativity. Use your imagination to think about your addiction you haven't been able to engage in because you can't afford to get any right now. You can use your imagination in hundreds of different ways. Also, use your imagination to brood on how life isn't fair to you, how you've always gotten the short stick, how things you've always been taken advantage of, how people don't like you, people don't care about you. In other words, use your imagination to put yourself in the center as the poor victim of life. These are all destructive ways to use the imagination.
All right. So it's important then how we use our imagination, and that has some effect on our body. As we've already mentioned, there are some good ways that reduce pain, probably have some other beneficial effects. I don't know if you know any other studies off the top of your head about the imagination and some of the beneficial effects that that take place.
Well, not necessarily the imagination, but with television, they've done studies and they've shown that television, which really provides imagery for your mind, has negative effects on the physiology of the body. It activates the stress hormones if you're watching stressful television and so forth. Same thing.
Okay. What about the Eastern issue now of cleansing the mind and meditation? We mentioned meditation in passing a while ago, but let's come back to that issue. What about using the mind to meditate? Christians often talk about meditation. In fact, you hear Christians talking about prayer and fasting and meditation. What about this issue of saying to the mind, I don't want anything in there. I'm going to take everything out of my mind, and I'm going to be a better person for doing that.
Yeah, if that is the end all, be all of meditation, and there are forms of meditation, that is the entire experience. You sit there, you empty the mind, you focus maybe on a noise, like om, or one word, love, over and over again. Just one thing over and over again. And if anything else comes in your mind, you just kind of say, that's okay. And you push it out and you go back to that one thing over and over again. If that's the end of meditation, I don't find that helpful at all. You can find physiologic benefit, but developing the mind, I don't find it beneficial. However, there can be a place where people are so frantic. They're so anxious. They're so stressed. They're so worried. They have so many different confusing thoughts flying through their mind that to begin a meditation with a brief period of calm, a brief period of quiet, a brief period of putting aside all those worries, and then in a quiet place, turn one's heart towards God, that would be appropriate as a starting point to emptying out all those negative things, you see.
Right. You know, as a pastor, I would practice this with my church family on when we'd have church service. As you know, church service sometimes, there can be a lot of noise. People are active, talking to their friends and this kind of thing. And I always built into the church service some period in that church service where everyone would need to be perfectly quiet, a time of meditation. Not long, because in a corporate way, it doesn't work very well. You're not going to meditate very long in a corporate service of that nature. However, it is amazing the change that would take place in that congregation just from a few moments of meditation.
Right.
We're going to talk more about that and other issues as it relates to mind over body. Give us a call, 800-775-4673. We'd like to hear from you. We have more to come, so stay tuned.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
If you're blessed by what you're hearing on this radio station and you want more, Life Talk Radio introduces the Hope Channel, a powerful new television network with an exciting, inspirational program lineup relevant to today's culture. Join us in a new documentary series as we retrace Paul's epic journeys across Asia Minor. Enjoy biographies that will take you through the lives of great Christian leaders. Inspirational Bible studies will lead you to a better understanding of God's Word. And our cutting-edge health and cooking programs will help you enjoy a full and happy lifestyle. To start enjoying Hope Channel's programming right away, contact your cable or satellite provider today and let them know you want the Hope Channel. For more information, visit us online at www.hopetv.org. That's www.hopetv.org.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the mind over the body. Does the mind have the ability to heal the body? Does it have the ability to make significant changes to our overall well-being? You can join our conversation, 800-775-4673. My guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings, and he is a Christian psychiatrist, and it's great to have him with me as we talk about this very important topic. There's a lot in the news. We've indicated some of that already, but there is a lot. You're reading this and listening to it every day. There are new stories that are coming out, and I think you'll continue to hear more because there are a lot of very significant medical institutions that are pushing into this area to try to better understand it and to make it an adjunct treatment method along with traditional modern medicine. Our number once again is 800-775-4673. We'd like to have you join us on the air as we talk about this topic. Well, Dr. Jennings, let's come back to meditation. That's where we left off. And we were talking about some good things about meditation, some bad things about meditation. If a person takes that time, as you mentioned, to just simply calm down, to try to refocus and readjust, it seems to me that that's a good thing. If that person takes that time to calm down, communicate with God, refocus life, it seems to me that that's a good thing. If a person is meditating simply to get rid of any thoughts, first of all, it seems to me to be a scientific impossibility. Second of all, if there is a vacuum that's created, who's going to fill that?
Well, yeah, I know some people struggle with that. I think I'm open to the possibility that certain parts of our brain can go into quiescence, that the parts of the brain that, and I've seen it in some of my patients who are mentally ill, that they are actually devoid of thoughts. We even call this a paucity of thought content. It's just that, like, there's nothing there. Now, that's not a goal you want to have for your life. These patients are sick. In fact, we try and treat them to turn the parts of the brain on that generate thoughts,
okay,
because they're not thinking.
Right.
So it's not a healthy place to be, to find yourself in a place where you can't generate thoughts.
Right.
But that sometimes happens. But I don't find that as a goal. And I find curious a meditation form that would have as its goal to shut down the part of the brain that does our thinking. Other than maybe, as I said, if your thoughts are so chaotic and out of control, there's a place for a brief quiescence as we then begin to reorder and organize our thoughts in healthy ways. I want to also mention that as Christians, we should not be afraid of the scientific community.
Sure.
We should not discourage the scientific community from doing research on this. We should embrace it, because as Christians, we have truth on our side, and we don't have to hide behind some mantle that says, oh, well, we don't need evidence, we just take that on faith.
Right.
Absolutely not. The truth, when you have the truth on your side, truth can afford investigation.
Right.
And the more investigation we have in honest ways, the more the truth will exonerate and expose the realities of the way God made us and made this universe.
Yeah, I think good point. Because God made our minds, and in the same way that our bodies are important, so many of us are concerned about maybe eating the right thing, getting the proper exercise, and so forth. And we think in terms of our body, but our minds are important too. And I think a better understanding of the mind is something that can only improve and help us. I mean, how many of us would want to go back and say, well, we wish that penicillin had never been invented?
Right.
I mean, obviously, we want to know more about how we function, because it's in our interest for that to take place.
And they've done studies on what we believe and how what we believe affect our physical being. This is traditionally, historically, everybody's heard of the placebo effect. The
right.
placebo effect. Give somebody a sugar pill, but tell them it's a pain pill, and they get relief from their pain. Then people think, oh, their pain was just imaginary. They didn't have real pain. We've actually documented now, if you take a sugar pill, but somebody has told you it's a pain pill, and you believe it's a pain pill, inside your brain, because you believe it's a pain pill, your brain releases natural brain-produced painkillers, opioids, called enkephalins and endorphins, that hit the same receptors that a painkiller hits. And so you actually get a physical change in brain biochemistry that reduces pain based on what you believe. And we can block that effect with a medicine called naltrexone, which blocks the effect of opioids like morphine. Naltrexone blocks morphine, okay?
Right.
If you give somebody this naltrexone and give them a placebo, suddenly they don't get the pain relief anymore, even though they believe it's a painkiller, because you're blocking the chemical response of what you believe is happening, okay? So we can document, and there's other studies that show this as well. So it's not just voodoo or witchcraft or mysticism or, well, he's just pretending to have pain. It's a real physical thing that happens based on what we believe.
Let's go to the phones now. We're going to Tennessee and talk to Freddie. Freddie, how are you doing today?
Oh, just fine. Y'all... said something about calling in, you know, if you'd ever been healed or anything like that, and I have several times, so I thought I'd call in and share it with you.
We'd love to hear it.
The Bible says, you know, the devil is our enemy, you know, and he deceives us, and what he does, he puts thoughts in our mind.
Sure.
You know, and so that's where our battle is, with the devil is in our mind, and when we get that thought, and I had this thought one time, well, I had a heart attack one time before I gave my heart to the Lord, so I know what the symptom was. And I was working one day, and it was real hot, and I had the same symptoms, you know, same heart attack symptoms. Uh-huh. And I stopped there just a second and thought just a second, and I said, Devil, you know, you can't kill me, and Lord, if it's you, I'm ready to go. And I just went back to work. And just, you know, in a few minutes, I happened to notice all the symptoms were gone. You know, and that's how the devil comes to us to rob and to steal from us, you know, and our battle is to have faith in God instead of believing that lie.
Right.
And then the symptoms go away. You know, he can tempt us with the symptoms.
Yeah.
But God is the healer, you know, so, and that's happened several times, several other times, you know, and several times in the Bible, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole.
Sure.
You know, so it's our faith and what we believe in our mind. Like I say, we hadn't been to the doctor, hadn't took even much of an aspirin in 10 years. You know, and it's you know, God is the healer.
Well,
you
know, yes, and I think, Freddie, what you're saying certainly has a relationship to some of the things we've been talking about. We're getting close to the break. Let me go ahead and ask our guest today, Dr. Jennings, to respond to Freddie. I don't think you're going to have a chance, but we'll keep Freddie over through the break. But quickly, what would your response to him be?
Well, I think that it's difficult to know whether his symptoms that he experienced while he was at work and was able to throw it off and go back to work was actually the symptoms of a heart attack. I want to explain more when we come back from the break that there's a physiologic response that happens from the brain to the body that mimics a heart attack.
All right, and we're also going to talk about the devil and how he plays a role in some of this. Our number is 800-775-4673, 800-775, the word HOPE. Give us a call. We'd love to speak with you.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
Hello, this is Jeremy Woodruff. Not long ago, my wife and I took our children to the dentist for the very first time, and as you might expect, they were pretty nervous, especially the youngest.
I don't want to go.
There were quite a few tears shed before we convinced Josie that the doctor was just going to tickle her teeth for a few minutes. And after all the fears and apprehension, she asked us on the way home,
"When can we get our teeth tickled again?"
You know, I've wondered since then how often I view God like Josie saw the dentist, someone to be afraid of. But I've found that the times I've allowed God to do His cleansing work in my life, however uncomfortable, there's a longing that grows within me to experience that closeness again. If you'd like to begin experiencing a God of love, let me recommend the Discover Bible Lessons. You can ask for these free Bible studies when you call 800-775-4673. We'll send the first packet out to you right away. Just call 800-775-HOPE and ask for Discover.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the mind over the body. And if you'd like to join our conversation, the number is 800-775-4673. But call quickly. We're in the last segment of the program, 800-775-HOPE. My guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. And we have Freddie on the phone line from Tennessee. And Freddie had brought up some issues, and Dr. Jennings, you were responding to that. So let me go ask you to go ahead and finish up on the things that you were sharing
okay.
with us.
In our brain, there's a portion of our brain that has 90% of the neurons that produce a chemical called norepinephrine, which is like this stress hormone chemical, okay? Our brain sends wires, neurons, out to every aspect of our body, innervating our entire body. When this part of our brain fires, it will, in fact, cause your heart to start racing. It will cause you to get short of breath. It can cause nausea. It can cause a lump in your throat where you can't swallow, tremulousness, break out into a sweat, hot flash, nausea, for some people, diarrhea. In other words, it activates those parts of the nervous system that controls our autonomic nervous system, the part of the nervous system that controls those functions that we don't do consciously, like our blood pressure, our heart rate, our breathing, our sweating, and all these different things. When that happens, it can definitely feel like somebody's having a heart attack. And in fact, because it can control vasospasm, in other words, the constriction of the arteries, if somebody is predisposed to having a heart attack and this part of your brain fires, it can actually cause a heart attack by constricting blood vessels that have narrow lumens to them. And so if, in fact, let's say, in our case of Freddie, he has got some negative thoughts being bombarded into his mind that cause increasing stress, causes this part of his brain to fire, and he's able to turn to the Lord, and he is able to throw off that negative thought, have a peaceful, joyful thought, calms that area of the brain so that part of the brain stops firing, his blood pressure would fall, his heart rate would slow down, the blood vessels would open up, and he would avoid having a heart attack.
All right. Well, Freddie, it sounds like there may be a good explanation for what happened to you. And yeah, we want to thank you for sharing that with us.
Okay. Well, you want to hear another one, or you want to go to somebody else?
Quickly, if you have another one, quickly.
Okay, first time I ever got healed, I'd had a lot of back trouble all my life, and I've been a chiropractor 2 or 3 times a week for 2 or 3 months, and then never got any relief. So I got prayed for one Monday night at prayer meeting, and the next Sunday night, we were standing there in church, and I felt the Spirit go down the back of my neck, and it shot out my arm, you know, and I thought, well, what if that went on down my back? And I hadn't more than thought that till here it come again, went right down my back of my head, and right down my back, and the pain left, you know, and that's immediately.
Right.
You know, and I never had much trouble in my back since, but it, you know, certainly not over that deal, you know.
Right. Well, Freddie, great experiences that you've had. We want to thank you for calling in today.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Well, that was an interesting call, Tim. Freddie was talking about pain, and he felt that God was healing him, and it seemed to have a positive result. Now, in my way of thinking, there are two things that we should consider. One is that the Bible is full of stories of healing. I have seen many modern-day miracles of healing as well. In addition to that, we have the issue that we're talking about today, and that is the issue of the mind over the body. And as you've already shared with us in such a beautiful way, the mind has a powerful effect over the body and can bring physiological changes.
I'll even take it a step further. Human relationship experience. They've actually done a study on married couples where they would inflict a wound, a measured wound. They would use a little instrument so every husband got the exact same wound, okay?
Right.
And then they would have these married couples have experiences that were supportive, nurturing, caring, and other couples they put in situations purposely that caused conflict, stress, and so forth within the marriage. And they monitored how long it took the wounds to heal. And lo and behold, when they added stress to the marriage, it slowed wound healing by 60%. 60% slower physical healing of the body from stress in a relationship with a person. And so, as we come into a community, he was in a community of believers. They joined together. They may have laid hands on him. He may have actually experienced a unity as we come together in John 17. May they be one as we are one.
Right.
And there is power in that unity that we haven't yet fully in science been able to explain, but we're learning some things and we don't have time to go into it today.
Right.
But there's actually some physiological, measurable things that we can measure from our physical bodies that we have influences one on another physiologically, and that may be part of that healing process as well.
You know, it seems to me that in either case that God works miracles in our life. If God comes to someone that has terminal cancer and takes that away, that is a dramatic miracle that God does. But if he works through our brains to bring about changes that work in a more natural way, it seems to me both are a miracle of God.
Well, are you saying, though, that maybe the one is just one that our science can currently explain, and the other one we haven't yet been able to explain, but both of them God is working through his laws that he never violates?
Yeah, good point. Good point. And so, you know, I think in these things we can turn and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. On the other hand, Freddie mentioned the devil, and I know, Tim, that this is some that even a lot of Christians today, in fact, fewer Christians believe in the devil than those that don't believe in the existence of the devil. The Bible is very clear. The devil is there. We also, of course, when we go over to James gives us a caution. He says, don't blame everything on the devil. He says, a lot of what you experience is because of your own desires.
That's right.
That you get yourself into. But at the same time, the devil is there. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness. We find, you know, the devil all throughout the Bible, and we know that the devil is there. If a person gives themselves to the devil, and I'm not talking about by the way of what we would think of as direct demon possession, but if a person yields their thoughts more to the thinking of the power of darkness than to the power of light, if they don't meditate on those things that, you know, like the Apostle Paul says, peace, joy, happiness, you know, if there's anything good, think on these things. If they move and think in the other things, then The territory of the devil has a negative impact on our mind and our body, doesn't it?
There's no question about it. You activate those physiological parts of your being, which result in that stress-rage reaction. You age faster. You damage genetic expression is altered. You damage corticosteroid levels, lipid levels. You increase risk of heart attack, stroke. All these things from allowing your mind to dwell in negativity rather than all those things that you mentioned, the joy, the peace, the happy, healthy thoughts.
Well, the devil, of course, is negative. And I think that anything that we look at about him in the Bible, of course, leads us away from God, and that's all negative. And so to think about those things, of course,
But let me interject that as a Christian, there is a place for us to address serious problems of our character that might have brief periods of intense turmoil as we fight that spiritual battle, as exampled by Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes, a good point. And I'd like to, we don't have time today, but it would be nice to talk about good stress and to sort that out maybe from the bad stress. But it looks like we're out of time. We want to thank each one of you for being with us today as we've talked about this, I think, a really intriguing and important topic. We hope that you will continue reading and thinking about these things. Go to the Bible and allow God to lead in your life. And I know that you will feel His blessing and His power in your life. And so we would highly recommend that you do that. We want to thank you for being with us today as we've talked about the Lord from this standpoint of mind over body. We'll look forward to talking with you next time. In the meantime, God bless.